Reality Daily listeners, it's your boy Jeremy here with another episode recapping the Challenge 39, episode 12, and I can't do it alone. I'm here with my ride or die. It's Naveed. Naveed, what an episode we get to talk about today.
Nah. You can't just get away with saying what an episode. I know you've been talking to Reality Daily correspondent Wyatt, JB. Are we even ride or dies anymore?
Whoa. Yeah, listen, hey, you know what? Like, we were ride or dies last season, and we were super close, but, like, you didn't even tell me you're coming on this season, and, like, you don't even talk to me anymore. It's like we're breaking up.
I just don't want to let people, down, JB. That's the problem, and I'm just feeling very emotional right now.
You know what? I will never say your name, but the people you're working with are just not the people I'm working with.
Yes, that is correct. listen, I just want to say off the top of the show, right? Like, I know last week, especially with Olivia, and like, I'm sure this week, Twitter was like dragging Olivia for like her, like, anti-Horacio statements. But I gotta say, I do appreciate some like emotion that's on the show now compared to like the Vacation Crew where it was like kumbaya all the time.
Yeah, like, I think that we're finally at that point where we've got some drama this season that isn't related to Melissa or Big T. And Melissa and Big T have not been on the show in almost a month. So, hooray, finally.
Yeah, hooray. I'm ready for it. I think it's exactly what the challenge needs. I'm totally here to see on a week-to-week basis what happens with this Horacio and Olivia relationship, or I guess breakup. That's what it's like pretty much turning into. Now we have like a whole interesting third party with Zara that's in there that's making it complicated. And Nerys is now back in Horacio, like Olivia's BFF. I'm here for it. I think it's great drama. And you know what, JB? I would be down to even see this for like a season 40 type of thing, like the storyline continuing. Unfortunately, I think it's like a winners, all winners type of thing for season 40 or all legends. But even 41, I'd be down to see that.
Honestly, like, I feel like this episode, just there was no all gas, no brakes. There was a lot in this episode that that went down. And I think that this episode is probably going to be a little bit longer, the podcast at least, than what we usually go for. So strap in, buckle up your seatbelts, get some popcorn or something, because we got a lot to talk about. But yeah, let's start off just, you know, to get back to the house. Raven has just beat Laurel in elimination. Probably the biggest upset so far for the season. And we talked a little bit last week how we didn't necessarily think it was super fair. Because she had basically the whole house, Naveed, on her side trying to get her through the elimination.
Yeah, like this, I was a bit surprised that Raven also said that she's the most upset against Mariah and James. Like, why are you upset against Mariah? Mariah was like legitimately trying to like convince James and everyone else to not say your name, but now you're upset. Like, it didn't make sense to me then. It doesn't make sense to me now. It's a bit interesting take by Raven.
I like Raven's whole, like, you know, hey, screw everybody, but it seems like it's all bark, no bite. I hate to say it.
Yeah, I mean, like,
and it's like it's misdirected. It's like, yeah, you're mad, but like, you know, who are you mad at? Like, it's just like, oh, she's mad for the sake of being mad.
She's still very hot, and that's why I appreciate her on the show. But yeah, not the smartest confessionals.
Yeah, but you know, we're gonna get to the daily, and the daily this week is played in teams of four. It's called We All Fall Down, which is a great name for a daily mission. So it's basically like tug of war in a sense. They're on this huge platform on top of the water, about 20 feet up, and they basically have to push the other team off. They're on two sides of a wall, and whoever pushes the other team off advances to the final round, and whoever wins the final round wins the daily. So the teams for this one, team one is Asa, Colleen, Jay, and Raven. And they're going to go up against team two, which is James, Kylan, Michelle, and Mariah. James and Mariah on a team again in a daily. I feel like we've seen this like every time they've been able to be on a team. Like they're together again. But there's also some dissension between this group because, you know, we're coming off of a girls' day, so it's presumed that it's a guys' day. Michelle has a confessional where she talks about how, oh, it's a, like, I want to win for myself, but like, is it smart for me to win? Like, Kylan and James are who I need to go in if it's a guys' day. So, you know, she's thinking that, but she's not saying it out loud. But Kylan immediately clocks her. Kylan is like, oh, yeah, Michelle may not necessarily want us to win, but we're going to go out and we're going to try to win. And Michelle has like this meltdown right before the challenge in that little interview. That kind of came out of left field, in my opinion. What do you think about that, Naveed?
That was fucking hilarious. Where like Michelle was like, they don't trust me. They say that I'm going to throw this. And then Kylan immediately goes, I'm not saying you're throwing it. I said, I'm worried. It's like, Kylan, come on now. I get it. Like, it's not the exact thing, but it's like the same sentiment. You know what I mean? But that was like a great confessional. And I'm going to sound like a bit of a dork here or like a bit of a nerd because they did like the camera crew did something with this little confessional scene with the team that I don't think they've really necessarily done in other challenges. They kept doing like these like close-up shots of like Michelle, which like I don't think we've seen really when it comes to like these pre-challenge confessionals. So for anyone else out there that like enjoys and like seeing these differences, I just want to shout that out to the camera crew.
Yeah, and they break the fourth wall. The producer, you know, you hear her voice when she's talking. So that's like an interesting, you know, moment as well. But yeah, like. Kylan, like, she mentions this, but then she's like, yeah, and my team thinks I'm going to throw it. Well, you did kind of just say that you might throw it. So Kylan yeah. has some grounds to maybe think that that is true. So, yeah, I thought that was really kind of funny. And honestly, if this group had won and if it was a guy's day, that would have been a really interesting, interesting dilemma that they would have had. But.
I actually, JB, I wanted to ask you something about the way that like the teams were decided for this. Why didn't I kind of talked about the way TJ went about it with this challenge, with like a previous one, but he kind of just like looked at the crowd and said like, okay, there's four there, there's like, that's the teams. Do you think that's like a good way to make the teams, or would you prefer it to be like totally random or like to draw names out of a hat or like rocks?
Well, the producers probably line them up there anyway. So.
Oh, interesting. So you think it's like it's not really like random, ahead of time they lined up that way.
It's just it's their way of making it seem like it's random. That's my opinion on the subject. Is it just makes it seem like it's you know, it is random, but I don't think it's entirely random. And maybe that is why Mariah and James always get on the same team because, this isn't the first time they've done this. But yeah, I mean, I guess when they had that challenge where it was the three, like Raven, Zara, and Asaf were on a team, like that was, I guess, random, but, yeah, I get, like, to me, I think, I don't think it's entirely random. But yeah, in this little, mini part of the daily, Team 2 is gonna actually win. And Michelle's like, I told y'all I wasn't gonna throw it. You know, she was right. She wasn't throwing it. But so James, Kylan, Michelle, and Mariah are gonna move on to the final, of the daily. And then in the second half, we have Team 3, which is Corey, Emmanuel, Nerys, and Olivia against Team 4. Which is Berna, Ed, Horacio, and Zara. And it looks like Team 3 has a lead early on, but Team 4 is eventually going to take down Team 3. They say that Corey's kind of like the anchor of the team, and he is and once they get Corey down, they're able to get the whole team down. So Team 4 is going to move on here, and then they're going to go to the final. And Team 4 is going to win the daily. So that's Berna, Ed, Horacio, and Zara winning the daily. This now makes 5 daily wins for Zara. She leads the cast in wins for dailies. What are your thoughts here about Team 4 winning this daily?
I loved it just because I knew immediately that Horacio is going to have to make a tough choice and it's going to be like all dependent on him. I looked at the four and I was like, yep, it's going to be dependent on him. And that's how it ended up being. I thought the whole discussion that they had, JB, was hilarious, where like Berna was like yelling like, I pushed that too. Like I pushed too. I won. I put 110%. I have a voice here. And then you have like, Horacio just kind of being silent. Ed is like pushing like the Soldier Colleen and Raven narrative. Zara is trying to protect Raven. I thought it was like amazing dynamics. And in the end, I think Horacio got away scot free by TJ not asking him who the vote was going to be. You know what I mean? Like he did with the previous challenges. I was pretty surprised that it was Zara.
Maybe. But here's the thing. With this group, now you think it's going to be a guy's day. And if it was a guy's day, this would have been very – like, who do you think they would have gone for if it was a guy's day?
Probably James. That would be my guess. Like, I can't imagine – like, unless Zara like is trying to defend James. But this, I can't imagine, like, it's going to be a 2-2 lock. I think it's going to be 3-1 James going in. That's my guess.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. But it's not a guy's day. It's a girl's day. For the second time in a row, it's a girl's day. And for the fourth time in 5 weeks, it's a girl's day. So we've seen a lot of girl's days here as of late. And we're, I guess, assuming that the next two are going to be guy's days since we're all out of female champions. All the female champions have made their appearance up until this point. We just have Brad and CT left. And I think next week it looked like in the promo that it's going to be Brad next week and then CT the week after. But anyway, they have to vote in one girl. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. You know, who are they going to go for? You know, we look at Berna. Berna is probably going to protect, you know, Colleen. You know, Zara is probably going to protect Raven. The guy, like, Horacio is probably going to protect Nerisse. And we don't really know where Ed is because this is Ed's first daily win. There have been 8 dailies since they became, not team dailies anymore. And Ed has not won a single one up until this point. So this is the first time Ed is like having a say in the power structure, of the game. And so we really don't know entirely where he stands. But Horacio has talked a little bit about, you know, defecting from the status quo and trying to make a move. And we don't see it here. We do not see it here.
Yeah, speaking of all bark, no bite, that's Horacio in a nutshell. Since day Absolutely. One, this man has been like, oh, you know, I'm going to take the path less taken. I'm going to vote for Big T out of everyone else, like 20 people there. I'm going to be the only vote for Big T along the way, not talking to anyone except like Kylan and Nerisse. And then like I want to make a move. Like I get like Horacio, he has a big fan base. I like him too, but like come on, man. Like have a voice. You're too quiet.
Zara being safe really throws a wrench in the plan here, and Berna being safe as well, because you would think that, you know, those are two of the names that are lower on the totem pole for the girls. And you know, I was thinking maybe Mariah would have maybe caught some flack here. You know, Horacio doesn't really have like a connection. Like, honestly, that should have been the play for all of those girls. It would have made, well, it wouldn't have necessarily made sense for Zara, but I feel like for Horacio, it makes sense to throw Mariah in. For Berna, it kind of makes sense to throw Mariah in, especially over Colleen. If Colleen is the other option, you go for Mariah. Like, that was what they should have done. I think Berna wanted to go Raven, but that really didn't make sense for anyone's game. So they go with the easy route. They go with Colleen.
I think for Berna here, I just don't understand why Berna would want to target Raven here, because like, listen, like just like 2 weeks ago, you were complaining that you're outside of like this alliance, or like you're expendable and stuff
exactly.
like that. Like
exactly.
Wake up. Like, why are you doing the dirty work for Michelle?
That's why Mariah makes sense for her. Like, they should have thrown Mariah in.
With Ed, I totally understand why he wants to keep his status quo, right? Because from Ed's perspective,
Ed made the best move. Ed is the one that actually probably gets his way the most. and probably benefits him the most out of this, foursome.
Mm-hmm. So like, that's why it just like, for me, it, like Zara and, Berna here, they should, I think they both fumbled. Like when it comes to Zara, like it should be literally anyone but Colleen and Raven, or maybe like at least not Raven, you know what I mean? And then just try to build like these like outside forces. And like, you know what's surprising out of all this? It feels like Colleen, the person that like actually went in, is like the person who has like, which we'll talk about later on with like the house dynamics. She has like a good read on like what's going on here. And like, unfortunately, the other people on the outs just don't.
She does. And her going in, that's what this kind of triggers. And you know, we kind of, before the show, Naveed and I, we made kind of like our own chart, that like kind of resembled Colleen's. That's like kind of why I wanted to do it, Naveed, is so to kind of match what Colleen was doing. But essentially, like, she basically calls out the four people that are running the house, as Jay, Michelle, Nerisse, and Olivia. And she's, in a way, like, she's correct. Like, I mean, the Fantastic Four alliance that we saw form early on in the season was that group take out Olivia but put in Asaf. But at this point, like, Nerisse and Olivia are super close to the point where Olivia might as well be in that group. And so with Colleen kind of on the outside, she needs to get these numbers on her side. Raven, Kylan, Horacio, Zara, and then James and Mariah, that's like kind of the way that she gets out of this. And then she needs to get like Emmanuel and Berna. The only problem is Berna is Michelle. Like Berna is like Michelle's, or Berna's number one is Michelle. And Emmanuel is with Jay. And Emmanuel's not going away from Jay. And like Ed and Corey are not able to like look from that. And she also thinks Asaf is someone that she can bring on to his, on her side, but she can't. So like when Michelle is the queen bee, like she says she is, she's kind of right.
Yeah, like, you know, it's one of those things where I think Michelle and, you know, by accomplices like Jay and Asaf and Nerisse, like what they're doing with like this onion strategy is like 100% like working out for them, right? Where people are like on the outs or targeting other people on the outs, and it's all fantastic and stuff like that. Unfortunately, and as we talked about like in previous weeks, it's just not working out for them this season, because the people that they keep sending in just keep coming back from elimination. Otherwise, I think right now they'd be in like a much better place where there wouldn't even be a chance for like an uprising, like, which is what kind of Colleen was, talking about or previewing in the, at the end of the episode. So, you know, it's just one of those things where like Michelle is playing a fantastic social game, but the challenge is kind of like tough to successfully pull off the onion strategy, especially in a season like this where people can come back.
Yeah, like that has, like, we've gone now 3 weeks now in a row where no one's gone home, and that only, you know, solidifies this group that's been formed. You know, there have been opportunities to like challenge it. But what's ultimately going to have to happen is we're going to need to see like a daily win by like a, like in a pairs challenge. We're going to need like, we're going to need something like, Kylan and Zara winning a daily and them sending in, Michelle.
Yeah. Something along those lines.
Sending in Olivia, something that would, but the thing is like, I feel like Horacio wouldn't say say for instance Zara and Kylan win a daily. I mean, could they go for Nerisse? Probably not, because Horacio is tied. So like, I was thinking like, and I was thinking about this during the episode. You know, Michelle has been seen as like the common denominator and everything. But couldn't that be Nerisse? I feel like Nerisse might actually have a better standing in the house.
I agree, because especially when it comes to like the outside group, the first person that they target, it's not going to be Nerisse, right? It's going to be like Michelle or like Olivia, right? So, and like, I think Nerisse is covered from that Michelle and Olivia side as well. So I'm right there with you, JB. I think Nerisse is playing probably like the best game of everyone.
But Luis is screwed if they go for Horacio, and it does seem like Horacio is starting to pick up on people's radar.
Yeah, because he doesn't talk to people. He sucks. I don't know what he's like. I love Horacio, but come on, man. Like, just talk to people. It's not that hard.
Yeah, let's talk about Horacio because he's a big part of this episode. So, like, with Horacio, you know, there's the conversation in the beginning about how Olivia feels distant from him. You know, they had this whole – and she's, like, talking to Nerisse about this. And Nerisse obviously is really close to Horacio as well. Nerisse and Olivia also very close from last season. You know, so – she feels like some kind of, she feels like she deserves something from Horacio. And ever, you know, even though they were together last season and all of this, you know, she feels that Horacio should be showing her a little bit more respect. She's like, he's so selfish, it's disrespectful, all this. She's telling this to Nerisse, and I think she's saying this, like, I don't think this is really like a game conversation between Olivia and Nerisse. I think this is like genuinely like Olivia wishes she had her friend back. Or maybe she's just jealous of Nerisse and, but then again, like if you're jealous of Nerisse and Olivia or Nerisse and Horacio, then don't talk to Nerisse about that. I feel like this was genuinely Olivia coming to Nerisse as a friend and expressing her disappointment for another friend. That's kind of what I got from it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think, but it was hilarious though how like Nerisse started getting upset and like started defending Horacio. Like, that was like the funniest part of it all. Cause like you could really realize, like on Olivia's face, she was like, "Oh shit!" Like, I did not expect this conversation to go this way.
Well, we also and this is also earlier in the episode, and we don't know what the like. We assume that it is chronologically correct, based on how it was shown in the episode, but you never know. Because it's Nerisse's turn to get a phone call from home. And she hears from her family. And Deandra, did you catch that? Because that Deandra was also on this phone call. Her castmate from Are You the One?
I think so. Yes. I did not catch that. No, I did not.
Well, so Dee Dee was on the call and her brother was on the call. It was, they said it was Nerisse's family, but Dee Dee was on the call. But I think it was her brother that was saying that someone's been talking mad shit about you. And he basically says, Olivia's been talking mad shit about you.
Online. So this is, this is the one thing, like, I just want to bring up when it comes to this, season. Like, I can't remember, JB, the last time, like, this much, like, outside influence has, like, kind of been shown on the show. If you think about it, like, we've had champions now come in talking about how Bananas is, like, all, like, devastated over, like, what Olivia's doing. We now have, like, what's it called again? We now have Nerisse getting information about, like, what her, from her family about, like, what Olivia's saying. Then you have, like, Michelle's game being exposed where champions are coming in saying that, like, oh, Michelle's the one running the game. Like, can you remember the last time a season was, like, this, like, transparent with, like, the outside world influences?
Yeah, I thought it was crazy, but here's the thing. And this is like kind of why I feel this way. Look, if you call Nerisse's family and you say, hey, like, you know, you're going to talk to Nerisse, like, don't disclose anything, like, game wise, whatever, you know, maybe that conversation didn't happen, or maybe they slipped up, or, you know, maybe the, Nerisse's family did it without thinking there would be any repercussions. But like the fact that it was shown is very interesting. And the fact, so this is, you want to know what I think? I think it's a lie.
Oh, interesting.
I don't think Olivia was saying anything, or it got misconstrued or something, because I just don't, like, to me, it's like, why would, like, I feel like Nerisse would have been like called in by producers and been like, hey, like, just so you know, like, you know, this is outside information, like, you know, it can't affect the game, that kind of thing. I don't know. Like, you know, but we've seen challenge producers. They're not like, they don't have 1,000% squeaky clean record of like things like this happening ever. And you know, the challenge producers have, you know, screwed up once or twice on, you know, various aspects of the game. But this one I feel like it's very unfair for Olivia. If it's true. But I feel like it's a lie because I feel like I feel like it's a lie. Or it's not the entire truth.
Or maybe I don't know. Someone
was it's trying tough. To frame a lie or something. I don't know.
Like, why would her family lie about something like that? That doesn't make sense either.
To protect her in the game.
So you think, like, Norris, like, ahead of time told them, like, hey, call me and tell me that Olivia is, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, it's like, so bizarre. And I don't want to, like, misrepresent the situation. But, like, I'm trying to see if Olivia and Norris follow each other on Instagram. I think that would, like, maybe... that would maybe change my opinion of it.
Yeah, well, JB is doing that. Like, one thing that interesting that happened also, like, right before that whole conversation about Olivia, Norris was, like, telling her family about, like Horacio. And for some reason, I personally thought that, like, in that moment, Horacio would come into the room and, like, meet her family, like, on Skype or whatever. Like, I thought it would have been like, hello, like, first time meeting you guys. Nice to meet you. I'm in love with your sister, with your daughter or whatever.
So, quick little search. Norris and Olivia do not follow each other on Instagram.
Damn. You hate to see it. Not ride or dice.
There may be some, there may be some extra drama there that we are not, privy to. But like Berna, like Olivia or Norris follows Berna. Norris follows Michelle. I think Norris follows Raven as well. Yeah. Oh, yikes. Oh, that changes things in my opinion. Because that's just like, wow. I did not expect that. I thought this was like a thing and they were fine, but I guess not. Let me see if she follows Horacio. Yeah, she does follow Horacio. Horacio, Olivia still follows Horacio.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
And vice versa. Interesting. Interesting. Very interesting.
The plot thickens.
The plot thickens, and I think we're going to see, as these weeks go on, I think we did see, like, part of their, I know that they're about to film the reunion, so that should clear things up, maybe, or make things even murkier. But we'll see. Okay, so we're going now, so Colleen is, like, let's kind of go back to the game and, like, kind of where that is. Colleen at this point, she's talking about this plan and she knows Raven's probably on the block. But there is no like concrete plan as to how to beat this alliance. And I really think that they have no way out. Like I think that this team is, or this alliance is so concrete, and it's like 9 people, 10 people that they will not budge because they have some connection to the Fantastic Four. Whether it's Horacio has Norris, Michelle has Mariah, Asaf and Jay have Emmanuel and Ed. I really have a hard time seeing this group break up.
And it's just one of those things where, like, especially with a format like this, it's kind of, like, hard to break that trust unless you, like, royally fuck up. And all these players are, like, smart enough to not fuck up, and that's why they have, like, no player has really any reason to not trust, like, who they're banking on. You know what I mean? Like, at this point, they're, like, unless you're, like, someone like Berna who can, like, literally see Michelle not necessarily, like, having her back and like behind conversations or whatever. Everyone else, like you kind of, they're just kind of like, I don't want to be the first person to make a move and go against like this like core that we have and potentially ruin a good thing.
Well, you know how this group does get broken up. I can see one way. one way this group gets broken up.
Tell me.
Nerys and Olivia.
Ooh, that would be fun. I'd be down to see, I would pay money to see that. So I hope that happens.
Cause here's the thing. Well, we do know that the next 2 weeks are presumably guys' days. Horacio is a target for some of this alliance. Jay, Asaf, Emmanuel, Ed, I could hypothetically see all four of those guys say Horacio's name. But I could also see a huge dissension of people that don't want to say Horacio. Zara, Kyland, Raven, Colleen, maybe Berna. I mean, I think, and we don't necessarily know Michelle's viewpoint on Horacio at this point. We don't know if Michelle is, but I do think that Michelle is more likely to throw in people like Kyland, before she's going to throw in Horacio. But that being said, you know, we could be in the next 2 weeks needing to throw in two guys. So I do think that there is some tension there. And you would assume that Michelle would side with Jay. And that's like kind of where Michelle is. But is Michelle going to betray Nerys or Jay? What do you think?
And I think it's probably one of those things where whenever they do try to throw in Horacio, it might start like a civil war where people have to start picking sides. And like you said, that might be like where we start to see like the fracture or like the nail in the coffin for that alliance.
Nerys is the key, because if what happens is Nerys decides if they shoot at Horacio and they miss, you can get Nerys, Horacio, Mariah, James, Zara, Kyland, Raven, Colleen. That's eight. That's the eight you need to take down the rest.
It's an interesting idea, and you know what? We're going to shoot our shot and make that prediction. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, because – and I could see, like, those guys, like, Horacio and Kylan, they're going to want to take a shot at Jay. They're going to want to take a shot at Jay. When they realize they don't have Asaf, they'll target Asaf. But I genuinely could see, like, they compromise on someone like Corey or someone like Emmanuel, someone that they've already thrown in earlier in the game, but a person that kind of helps their side stay safe. And that side being, you know, the numbers that they need, James, Kylan, Horacio. That is the middle of the game right there. Nerys, Olivia, Horacio. That is the triangle of the game that bridges the two sides. So the Horacio is the one that's been kind of defecting. And it's like the ride or die, but for Olivia and Nerys. Like they won't say Horacio's name. But if the others say Horacio, and if Olivia is willing to say Horacio, that ends Nerys and Olivia. And then that may lead to Nerys targeting Olivia. And Nerys may say, hey, Colleen, Raven, you know, let's go for Olivia.
You know, it's an interesting idea, and I know this is not a good segue or not, but I just want to bring up the fact that I'm highly disappointed, JB, that we got no nightclub scene this episode.
Got no nightclub scene because there was so much other shit to be talking about.
I don't know. I personally need to see some some dancing and some fun and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's another thing that I wanted to bring up too. And it was something that I was just thinking about like during the episode. Naveed, I want to get your take on this. Tell me why Zara doesn't win the season.
Ah, man, that's I don't know.
I know it's like a cut very out of left field, but
I just have I think especially when it comes to like the finale, like there's so many times where we see like these puzzles just fuck up people in like the finale, and I'm worried that Zara might just like mess up at like a puzzle station or something like that. Like if you think back to like Challenge USA season 2, there was a point where Tori and Fessy, I think it was, that got eliminated because they couldn't throw axes, or like it pretty much sunk their chances of the finale. I could see some bullshit like that happening to Zara, because while yes, she's like a CrossFit legend and all that stuff, there's always some like bullshit random things that just like really sink your game. And I think she might be a victim to that.
I'll be the first to admit, look, I talked a lot of shit on Zara's game in our last episode. Go check that out if you haven't done so already. But I did talk a lot of shit about Zara last week, because she kind of just gave up, threw her name in, whatever. That being said, there was that scene between her and Horacio, and they really haven't like paired the two of them together really at all this season until this episode. And I was thinking, well, you know, Zara, if there are no more girls' days in the chaos portion, that means the only people that she's going to have to be in an elimination are in the house. And I would put her over any girl in that house in any elimination.
Ooh,
and okay. On top of that, I would say that, and she's run a final before. That's more than what most of these people can say.
Man, like, I don't know. It's tough. Like,
it's the line with Horacio, like Horacio being the strongest guy. And like, I think Zara may be like an outside like threat to win the whole damn thing.
You know, the thing with me is that I for some reason, I just really like Raven. Like, I don't know why.
Zara's in my top three in terms of potential winners.
Where's Raven at?
Raven in the bottom half. I just think that Raven is going to lose an elimination sometime between now and the final.
Interesting. I don't know. Okay. So what's your top three anyway? Tell me.
I'd say Zara for me is probably number one. Horacio for me is probably number two. Just because I think he's the best guy. And number three, you know, I think Jay's played a really good game, but I don't know if I necessarily take him in a final. Jay's definitely my top five. I don't know if he's number three. But like, I'd probably put Emmanuel in there as well, but Emmanuel's edit hasn't been super great. But then again, neither has Zara's. Up in, like, I don't know, like this episode for me, like Zara popped up as like major winner vibes from her. I just got that from her. And Horacio is probably number two. You know what? I'll say Jay's number three. Michelle for me is probably number four. Emmanuel number five.
Yeah, like that's the funny. I think Raven has a much better chance of winning a final than Michelle ever does. Like that's, like a hot take, but I just think that Michelle, like Raven has a lot more skill set.
Cause they will throw her in every single time, and it's not going to be like she can dodge them again. Like she's going to have to go up against somebody.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? I think for my top three, I think number one would be like Horacio, just because I think like, he'll get the better of like whatever happens. Number two would be like Nerys. And then like number three would be like, what was it called? It would be Raven. I think that's my top three. I know that might be like an interesting top three to hear, but I like that top three a lot.
Another thing too for Raven. I mean, like my issue with Raven is, like, she has a lot of potential, and I feel like she's almost there. Like, every single time, it's just, like, she's that close to being, like, a superstar. But she just comes up short, like, every time.
She's like, so like, funny, by the way. Like, when she was, like, during the challenge, like, at the end of the show, she was like, y'all playing a pussy-ass game. And I'm like, yes, Raven, yes, queen, slay them.
And then she's like, oh, well, if they all vote me in, I'm not going to vote for myself. Then she votes for herself.
Top three that energy, JB. Top three.
That pissed me off. Kylan didn't even vote for her. Like, she could tell what Kylan did. Like, she kind of voted for Mariah. She's like, yeah, I'll vote for Mariah too. Like, that's all you had to do. Stop voting for your damn self to go in.
Yeah, no, it's like, hilarious.
Like, that should not be an option. I hate that that's an option.
Like last episode,
don't be a pussy ass name, Raven. Take some of your own damn advice.
Last episode yelling at like Corey, like Corey, and no one likes you and all that. This episode, I'm most mad at Mariah and James. It's like, bitch, what? Like, excuse me.
Oh my God. Like she's so close. She's so close to getting it. And she just not, she just is like, it's like she yes, yes, yes. And then right at the end, no. So that to me is why Raven cannot win. Because Raven is just like, she doesn't, all bark, no bite from Raven. That to me is why I don't think Raven is ready to be a challenge champion.
Unfortunately, she will be a challenge champion, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, in season 40. 7. 47.
47, yeah.
When they have Battle for a New Champion 2. that she needs some more seasoning. She needs some more seasoning. She needs some more reps. She needs some more time. So yeah, we haven't even gotten like maybe the best part of the episode, which is the elimination, where Cara Maria makes her return to the challenge after not seeing her since before COVID. She's back on our screens. Naveed, what was your thoughts about, having our girl Cara Maria back on the challenge?
I liked her energy a lot more, like, this season, like, compared to, like, what we saw in, like, World of Worlds 2 and, like, previous, like, few seasons before that. I just think she had a much more fun energy this time around, and I think the break was, like, good for her. You know what? I thought she came off, like, super well. What about you?
Yeah, look, we last saw her World of the Worlds 2, right? That was in 2019. In that season, it was very much, like, Cara and Polly against Tori and Jordan. And like Tori and Jordan were the ones that were kind of dissenting from Cara and Polly. So it made it seem like it was like Tori and Jordan were like the heroes of that season in a sense. And that season was a very toxic one for Cara. Like she was, like, it was very mob mentality, very similar to this one, honestly. Like, very mob mentality. Everyone was, like, kind of, like, kissing Kara's feet and, you know, just letting it happen. And the people that were, like, not doing that were ultimately the ones that ended up winning the game. And so, yeah, that's, like, ultimately why Cara took so long to return. Because, you know, she did need a break. And this is, like, kind of, this was Tori's, like, moment in the sun. Like, this was probably Tori's best season, in my opinion, when she was like the underdog against Cara, and you know, she loses the final, but her side and Jordan, her fiance at the time, they got engaged on the season, you know, they won, and Jordan was legitimately the winner, and Tori made the final.
Yeah, that was a season where like Jordan legitimately like made a claim for like best of all time type of like territory. You know what I mean? After all the shit that he did that season, that was like some like legendary like moments.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. But then Tori like goes on Tori is on the next, I think, 3 seasons afterwards. And she's like, or the next like 4 seasons or something like that afterwards. And this is like, this is why Tori is like seen as the major villain now. And it's ironic how the two of them have like kind of swapped roles. Like Tori was the hero and she lived long enough to see herself become the villain. And that was who, Cara was. Like Cara was the hero and she lived long enough to see herself become the villain. But the fact that she took so much time off, she's now the hero. And then within 5 minutes, she made me realize why we don't like her to begin with. I thought she was insufferable when she started opening her mouth.
I know. Like, TJ, when you have a 50 cents to, like, shut the fuck up, Carver. Can you just not, like, please just smile.
That wasn't the part that, like, bothered me. It was the fact that, look, and here's the thing about Michelle. Like, look, I'm a Survivor fan first. I've known Michelle, I've known Michelle the longest out of anyone that's on this season. And I've been a fan of Michelle longer than I have for anyone this season. That doesn't mean I'm necessarily, like, Michelle is my number one player this season, who I like the most. But I do have a soft spot for Michelle. And I just felt like she was coming for Michelle for no reason. Like, no legitimate reason. Like, her and Michelle have never been on the same season. I mean, do they have mutuals? Yes. She did challenge USA 2 with Pauly, who was on there for 2 seconds. Like, it wasn't even that big of a deal. And, but she starts, like, coming for her. She does have that funny little line where she refers to Michelle as orange shirt, which is a continuation from last week's purple jacket call out. I thought that was really funny. Yeah. But other than that, I was just like, damn, Kara, like, why are you doing, like, what's the point? Like, go in, get your money, and leave. Like, that's why people are excited for you. They want you to come be a badass and leave. And you made yourself look like a total idiot.
I'm going to, like, there's a huge difference where, like, with Laurel saying, like, threateningly saying, like, pink sweater or whatever. Like, you can literally, like, feel, like, the intimate, like, the, just how intimidating Laurel is through the TV screen.
Has enough reason to be mad at Michelle. Like, that is valid. She is valid in how she feels about that.
Yeah, but, like, when it comes to Kara, when she says it, it doesn't feel like, it feels more of a joke than, like, anything. It doesn't feel, like, intimidating at all. Like, I don't know why. Like, it's just weird because, like, Kara has, like, played, like, 10 times more than Laurel at this point. But, like, Laurel is still, like, more threatening. It's weird. Like, I guess that's just, like, the kind of energy Laurel has versus Kara Maria.
Yeah, I thought it was very misplaced. And so, you know, she's like, Pauline and Raven, y'all have been down so many times that none of the other girls have ever been in the sand and like all this like hoopla. I was just like, bro, like whatever.
And that's, and yeah, like speaking of which, like, sorry, Jamie, I'm just going to cut you off here, but like that's rich coming from the person who literally did not see like an elimination for like two seasons in a row.
Same thing. Yes, exactly. Like, oh my God. She did the same thing on War of the Worlds too. Like that's, it's rich, very rich. And like, Michelle, like, I understand why people don't like Michelle. But at the same time, Michelle is up there because she's played a good game. All of those girls, and granted, yes, they did come in probably with a bigger advantage because they were so close on the last season all together. But, like, that's just the nature of the game. I think Corey said it earlier at the deliberation. It was like, you know, some, like, the game is not fair. Like everyone comes in with a specific amount of friendships from previous seasons. And that is a part of the challenge. It just, that's just how the challenge is. And it can be a flaw. It can be, you know, whatever, but it's a fact of the game. Some people are just going to have better social standing than others. And at the end of the day, it's up to you if you want to change that. And I feel like the people that have played the game that they have, Michelle, Mariah, Norris, Olivia, Ed, Jay, all of these guys that have just played a status quo game and it's gotten them 2/3 of the way into the season without having to do anything. Like, what do you want them to do?
I don't know. It's just like, to me, it's just weird, like, how Cara Maria just like approached this whole entire thing. Like, I think she definitely had an opportunity to come in there, be her like fun natural self, and I think in this situation she's it almost feels like she's trying too hard to be a badass JB. Like, I don't know if you agree with me or not with that, but it's just like it doesn't feel like the Cara Maria that like we just know who's like naturally herself.
Yeah, it was like, you know, this whole hyped up return for Cara was just not what it could have been. I'll say that. But yeah, she's gonna pull up the chaos mace. And she's going to call out Michelle. And at this point, like, Michelle doesn't even, like, kind of let her call her out. She's just like, I know it's me. Like, you don't have to, like, and I can, you know, like, and I thought it was so funny. It was just like, well, the thing is, like, Kara basically asks Michelle to call out, like, who should it be? And Michelle, I think, does the right thing here. She doesn't say anything. She doesn't owe her anything. And look. And Michelle, I think, even said it. It was like, well, if I say someone, she's going to be like, how dare you for throwing your alliance members under the bus? You're coming in anyway. I think she was calling out Michelle, you know, no matter what day it was. or what she said.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. What could have been AJB, like, if only the producers, like, had, like, given, like, Laurel, like, a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge before she did her drawing, that would have been more fun. We could have had that matchup. Instead, now we get Cara Maria versus Michelle.
We get Cara Maria and Michelle in a elimination called Blockhead. So there's 9 cubes around the arena, and they have to move it onto a platform, and they have to solve a puzzle. Now, puzzles are something that Cara has worked on in the past. She's not necessarily known for puzzles, but I wouldn't say she's horrible at puzzles. And Michelle is someone that has been good at puzzles in the past. So it's a pretty even elimination, I think. And the strength aspect you have to give to Cara because these blocks are pretty heavy. Now, granted, Michelle is a huge part to a lot of people's games in the house. And she is getting a lot of help from the peanut gallery. And we've said it before how we feel like help from the peanut gallery doesn't, like, it's a horrible part of the game and should be banned. But you really think it matters here?
I this is the thing, right? Like, I think in this situation, I actually had the opposite view that, I think Michelle didn't really get necessarily all the help. Like, I think she actually she did it by herself. Maybe
she's
because
funny.
Do you think so? Like, I don't know. Did we really see her again, like, told, like, where piece to move? More like she knew where to move the pieces by herself.
That's kind of what I'm saying is like kind of in the Kylan elimination, like Kylan was getting help, but it really didn't matter. And Kylan still was able to win.
Yeah. Like, I think this is the same thing.
Michelle, like, almost everyone in that house wants Michelle to win. And so they're going to help her.
Maybe. Like, I think one or two pieces here and there. But at the same time, though, I think she had that under wraps.
Take the peanut gallery away, I still think Michelle wins.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Michelle is going to beat Cara in the elimination. And it's not going to be necessarily close either. Michelle is going to return to the house for the 3rd straight week. The contenders win. What an episode. And what a finale for the episode as well.
It was great. And you know what? I know it's rare on Reality Daily we compliment the producers, but I'll say it. I think this was a great elimination. You know, in previous weeks, I thought it was like a really bullshit. Like, you couldn't really see like what was going on with the eliminations. The peanut gallery helped too much. It didn't feel like a fun elimination either. In this situation, I loved the fact that Cara Maria could like block out, like using her own blocks, the blocks of Michelle. I thought that was a great like little twist on the challenge. I don't know if like the producers were like anticipating that type of like strategy from Cara Maria, but just the fact that like the options there, I thought that was great. Like, too much now we've seen like these like one-on-ones where like it's not really like heads on, like they don't really interact with each other during like, the elimination. This one, it was awesome. And like whenever they did show like the puzzles and like where they were at, you could kind of have an idea of like how far or how close they were to completing their puzzles. I really think the producers like just nailed it with this elimination. And I think they bring this back for like a future season, and I really wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I think the elimination was a good one. A lot of different skills needed for this one, strength and knowledge and just puzzles. And I like that there was also opportunity to sabotage the other opponent. Like we saw with Cara, she was like kind of blocking Michelle's path. And I don't know whether or not that really helped or hurt her, but it did like kind of change things in a way a little bit. I would like to see this elimination again, maybe on Challenge USA or something like that. Simple elimination, and I would see it return again. Maybe not have Cara, though, as the person doing it. I feel like this elimination would have been better suited. Like, I feel like Laurel would have actually had a better time in this elimination, I think. What do you think?
It's tough. I think, like, I think,
it's
like,
a very fair elimination, regardless of who it is.
I agree. I think, like, just from, like, the strength aspect, I think, I think Laurel would have done a lot better just because I think she's better at, like, these type of puzzles than, like, necessarily, like, memorization. I think Cara Maria probably would have been a bit better at that. But overall, I think this is a very fun one. This is a very fun elimination.
Well said, well said. But, yeah, so we've got, I guess, about two-thirds of the season all done up until this point. We're 12 episodes in. Last season, I think they had 19 episodes. So we're now at episode 12, 13 next week. And it looks like we got two guys' days coming up. What's something that you're looking forward to for next week's episode, Naveed?
Just seeing hyped up Brad coming out for all the people that will be like, who is that? Who's that? Which season did you win, bud? Like, oh, I won back in 98. Like, that's gonna be Brad when he comes out.
How about this? Can you name the season Brad won?
Wasn't it Cutthroat or something like that?
It was Cutthroat. Good. You know your challenge trivia.
Dude, I can't wait for TJ to, like, tell the, like, statistics of Brad. Like, he's played 20 seasons. He made it to the finale once and won once. Like, he went into 20 elimination, won only two of them. This is Brad.
Man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. But,
Brad, today you're fighting for a pair of clippers, not for $10,000.
Oh man, that beard is really nice. I think personally, it's got.
I don't know.
No, but Brad. Okay, this is his stats legitimately. 10 seasons, not including the All Stars. 4 finals, and won once. And then in All Stars, he's 2-1 in eliminations in All Stars, and he made All Stars 3 final. And he's 6-6 in regular season elimination. So yeah, that's Brad's track record. And he took, after he won Cutthroat, he took 11 seasons off and came back for, the Vendettas and Final Reckoning. So yeah.
Crazy that 11 seasons. That's how, that's a huge break.
Cutthroat was in 2010 and, Vendettas was in, I think, 2017. Yeah. So that was his little break. It was a seven year hiatus before he came back.
Yeah, I remember in Cutthroat, he was that bitch with the baseball cap, and like he kept taking it off and talking strategy.
You gotta earn it against whoever it is in the arena. But yeah, but reality listeners, thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode. Next week it's gonna look a little different. I'm on vacation, so I think Naveed and Wyatt are gonna take it home for me, and but I'll be back again in 2 weeks time. We're gonna keep recapping the rest of the season here, but we're also recapping several new shows, including Traders UK coming up, Traders US next week with Bananas and CT, and Trishel. Are you excited for that, Naveed?
They're not coming on the podcast. They're on the season.
But you know what? If they're listening, and who knows if they're listening and you want to come on, you know, hit us up. You can follow us on social media, like, comment, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast. And, yeah, we're here. We're here at Reality Daily. So, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch y'all on the flip side.